God is truly good. So, Eleanor, we're going to hand over to Eleanor now, who will continue our talks on the parables. Father in heaven, bless our sister as she speaks to us. Pour down your spirit upon her. May she bring us your words this afternoon. May we hear what you have to say to us. Come, Lord Jesus, in our midst. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Hugh. First thing to say, if we have any glitches with technology, I have also pre-recorded this talk as a backup. So please feel free to shout in the chat if you can't hear me, if I've left the call entirely. We do have a backup, so no problem there. But it's lovely to be with you this afternoon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Eleanor. I'm a member of the Antioch community. I'm a charity fundraiser by day and a life coach in training by night. I'm also someone who's aspiring to pray in the way that we see that Jesus tells us to pray in these parables, but who definitely has a long way to go yet. So we're going to jump straight in to the first of the two parables that are in this passage, and hopefully that will pop up on the screen as if by magic. Wonderful. So this is from Luke chapter 18, but just verses 1-8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, Luke has very kindly, we can get rid of that passage now, Michael, thank you. Luke has very kindly started both of these parables with the key takeaway point. Now, this isn't always the case with Jesus' parables, so it's definitely worth paying attention to. So in this first parable, Jesus is telling the listeners and therefore us about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. We have a need to pray always. There's an assumption here, and the same assumption is in the second parable, that the listeners and we pray. We need it. It was a duty for the Jews of the day, and it's a duty for us as followers of Jesus Christ, who clearly sets this example out in the Gospels. Now, this will inevitably look pretty different for different ones of us, depending on how old our children are, or who we live with, or what our work circumstances are like. But there is an assumption that we are having a regular conversation with God and that we're investing in that relationship. And so I encourage you, as a first point, to seek out the resources, the apps, the people who can encourage you in that. And there are so many things out there for us. So we need to pray always. What else does this parable show us about prayer? Let's look at the widow. The passage says that she kept coming to him, kept coming to the judge. Now, this tells us that the widow wasn't necessarily waiting for hearings or for court dates that might have been months apart to plead with the judge. She was working around these formal structures and seeking him out personally to plead. So this may have been knocking on his front door. This may have been catching him in the marketplace or in the synagogue. Wherever it might be, whatever the opportunity, she was asking always. She's also incredibly courageous. As a widow, her status in society would have been really low. And the Bible explicitly mentions caring for widows because of this. As an example, Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. So it's unlikely that she would have had many, if any, resources at her disposal. And it's likely that people were already taking advantage of her. So being ignored wouldn't have been a new experience necessarily. But her voice was one of the few resources that she did have. And so she uses it, and she uses it with persistence and with courage. Now, the judge's reputation is widely known. He even confesses it himself. He says, "I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone." But as we cry out to God the Father and plead to him, how does our context differ to that of the widows? Firstly, God knows and loves and delights in us, whereas the widow was a stranger to the judge. We are a people, the widow was an individual. He invites us close, whereas the judge is trying to tell the widow to stay away. God is righteous and not unjust. God is already fighting any cause that we might be praying for, whereas the widow comes on her own account. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ. The widow had no one else speaking on her behalf. We are told to ask and we shall receive. The widow had no such encouragement to persevere. And we have access to God at any time, whereas the widow only had access to the judge at certain specific times. And finally, our cries don't provoke the Father and never could, in the same way that it provokes the judge. So if the widow could persevere with an unjust judge, how much more encouragement do we receive to not lose heart in praying to a good and just Father? Now, the last sentence of this parable provides another insight into how we are asked to pray. It says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This verse is quite sobering. After highlighting the widow's perseverance in praying and asking, we're told that when Jesus comes again, he won't find faith on earth. Now, the first point here is that Jesus' righteous judgment, which will come at a time that only he knows, will be inherently different to the judge's judgment, which is passed with a limited knowledge, whereas Jesus' judgment will be eternal. And even in the face of oppressors and injustices on earth, we're encouraged through this to take a heavenly perspective on all that we pray and intercede for. Secondly, Jesus tells us here and elsewhere in scripture that the world will turn further and further away from God before he returns. Even so, we're encouraged to still pray constantly and not to lose heart, because we know that God is faithful, not just because we see that our prayers are answered. And we can take comfort that Jesus will appear again, despite the world's and maybe our increasing disbelief. So how much effort do we put into seeking the Lord? How personal and persistent and courageous are our cries to the Father? If a prayer isn't answered, what's our response? Do we take a heavenly perspective on the injustices that we see all around us? This parable is so clear. We should be courageous and personal and constant in our praying always. Now, there is a lot of wisdom on this call. Some of you have been praying and persevering in prayer far longer than I've been alive. So I really want us all to encourage each other. I'd love to hear from you all in the Zoom chat. This is an interactive bit. In the Zoom chat, what have you found that helps you not to lose heart in prayer? We'll just take a couple of minutes. Any thoughts, please share them in the chat. And then I will disable the chat so that it doesn't distract us all. Great, so we've got faith stories of others, phoning a friend when we get stuck. Nice. Recording prayers and going back to those that have answered. Testimonies from others, keeping a record. Lots of testimonies, praying with other people. Making lists, yeah. Hindsight. Great. Faith, focusing on who God is, absolutely. Just do it. Not giving up. God's timing is not our timing. Coincidence is in the word of God. Yes, that's great. Okay. I am going to disable the chat now. I'm so sorry if you're mid-typing. But just so that it doesn't get too distracting as we go on. But thank you for all of those thoughts. And I'm sure there's many more that haven't been mentioned. These practical things that can really just help us persevere in prayer, not to lose heart. At the beginning of this year, I did a retreat in Normal Life, which was led by the rather wonderful Claire Bick. And it was a busy few weeks for me, if I'm honest. It was a difficult time to set extra time apart to pray. But as always, the Lord was so, so faithful. In the times that I did snatch to sit with him, to listen, he was very tangibly present and spoke very profoundly into my life. And the two practical tips for prayer that I took away from that, firstly, as we saw in this parable, I can pray anytime. I can access God the Father at any time. Believe it or not, I hadn't quite clocked that before. I hadn't quite thought of praying outside of my daily prayer scheduled time. So that was a wonderful revelation. Secondly, having some direction was really helpful from Claire, being pointed towards things to pray into and to meditate on, especially with all the distractions that were going on at that time. So we've learned from this first parable that we should pray constantly. We should not lose heart. We should have a heavenly perspective in the face of injustice. And we've now just shared so many great practical ways of doing that. Now let's turn back to the passage. I'm just going to ask Michael to put up the second parable. So this is again Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Thanks, Michael. So again, the key takeaway point is given to us, and that is not to trust in ourselves. We see this wonderful contrast between two people who have gone to the temple to pray. Now, both have come outside of the dedicated prayer times. And so to an onlooker, it might look pretty similar, that their actions are pretty similar in terms of holiness or however you measure those things. And yet one comes knowing that it's a public place where his worship and his prayer will be seen and admired. He boasts of all the good that he's doing. He justifies himself by his own actions and by comparing himself with other people. He focuses totally on himself. Meanwhile, the other comes knowing that this is a place where all people are welcome. He stands apart. He can't even look up to heaven. He acknowledges his sinfulness and his need for mercy. And he has the faith that God can provide that mercy. Some of you will know that I have a bit of a determined streak. Some people might call it stubborn. I wouldn't. And these days it tends to manifest itself primarily in board games and in untangling things, whether it's necklaces or fairy lights or whatever it might be. I've always had this streak. We're in the season of Lent at the moment. And when I was a teenager, I used to give up chocolate fairly regularly. Now, for me, giving up chocolate didn't just mean giving up chocolate. It meant giving up anything that had the smallest chocolate chip or any hint, like 1 gram of chocolate in the ingredients. It would not touch my lips, much to my parents' surprise. Now, this perseverant and determined streak certainly has its benefits. It also has its cons, but it has its benefits and has meant that over the past few years since I've been a Christian, I've been able to do prayer pretty regularly, and I've been able to do that in my own strength. And when I've compared myself with others, and if we're honest, I'm sure many of us have been tempted to do that, on paper, I come out as pretty good. But over the past few years, a couple of years in particular, I've heard the Lord asking me for more. The Lord does not justify the Pharisee for his actions, although they are objectively good. He's fasting, he's praying, he's tithing. But he praises the tax collector and the widow, who are aware of their weakness and aware of their need for mercy and for protection. My regular praying isn't enough if I'm not also coming to the Lord with a teachable and humble heart, or at least the desire to be teachable and humble. I've been reading a book recently called Set Me on Fire by Malcolm McDonald. And there's a passage in here that just articulates this humility in coming before the Lord beautifully. So it's titled Brokenness and Humility. And this is the last thing. Brokenness and Humility. At its heart, this is about deep honesty with God. Where am I with God? Am I in right relationship with him? Is there anything coming between us? Being broken is about laying down our pride and self-sufficiency. It is coming to the humble place of deep desire and thirst for God's fullness in my life. When we are broken, we know we need God. Brokenness starts at the cross. Jesus was broken. He laid down his life and did not resist his call to die. Brokenness is not about feeling hopeless or worthless. It is the opposite. Brokenness is seeing the worthiness of Jesus and finding an honest place where all we want is to glorify him and live for him at the expense of all our earthly ambitions and pleasures. It is a heart posture of repentance, coming to the end of ourselves and turning to Christ with our whole selves. Brokenness is essential because being filled with the fullness of God will take us to servanthood, not the seeking to be center of attention. Brokenness is about death of sin and self, and about the release of a holy beauty in our hearts that is so attractive to the Holy Spirit. He loves to fill broken people. Psalm 51:17 declares, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." This is heart preparation for being filled. It is not easy, but it is glorious. Let me just wrap up with a prayer. Father, we thank you for how you teach us to pray, Lord, in these parables. Father, we thank you that you are available to us any time, Lord, that we can turn to you and cry out to you. And Lord, we just pray now that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you give us the grace to pray humbly and constantly and personally. Lord, to take a heavenly perspective on all that we see. Lord, that you mold our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.